Well, it's been quite a few weeks since we were on this series. We were in a series called Strong in Spirit. I believe we're wrapping that up, but didn't think we were quite done. And it's been a few weeks, so I'm going to review a little, and then we'll go a little bit further. 1 Corinthians 3. You can put that, if you can put 1 Corinthians 3, 1 up on you on the screen. It's on your sheet. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now are still not able. We, in this series, we've talked about being strong in spirit, being strong spiritually. In the inner man. And we've covered different facets of that. Luke 2:40. We read this. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Strong in spirit. Being strong spiritually is so important. You can be strong physically, but if you're weak spiritually, you can become weak physically. If you're weak physically, but you're strong spiritually, you can become strong spiritually or strong physically. Our inner man affects every area of our being. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 16 says that you that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That's our spirit. Strengthened through his Spirit in our spirit, in the inner man. The inner man is the real us. We covered this in detail. We have, we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. We live in a body. But our spirit man is the most important part. If we're spiritually dead, that means we're separated from God. It doesn't matter how smart you are mentally, doesn't matter how strong you are physically. If we're spiritually dead, that means we're spending eternity separated from God. But if we're strong spiritually, first we need to be born again. We need to trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God raised him from the dead, and believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. The Bible says we'll be saved and we become born again. Our spirit is made new. It's not repaired. It's not patched. It's a brand new creature. When you believed God, you were made a brand new person on the inside. But you can be more or less strong on the inner man. Just because you get born again doesn't mean now you're on autopilot and you're strong, you know, and you never can grow depleted. Your spirit man needs to be fed just like your natural man does. If you know as well as I do, if you don't eat, after a while you get weak, right? You can't just go on the meal you had last year. We need to be fed, and it's true spiritually. We need spiritual food. That is the Word of God. We need to feed on the Word of God. We need to be around the Word. We need to be around His Spirit. It strengthens us, builds us up. His Word will create faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. We need to stay strong on our inner man. This says that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Keep going. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, last time we touched on this, we're going to go further in this today. It says that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God, or love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to know the love of Christ. To be strong as we need to be, we should be, that God wills us to be spiritually, the foundation is knowing Christ, knowing what Jesus has done for us, knowing His love for us. That will be the foundation which we, the platform, we can go and serve this world. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son, Jesus, because He loved us and He gave His Son. We, for us to then carry that message, we need to know how much He loved us in order really to tell other people effectively how much He loved them. See, sometimes as Christians, even if you've been born again, you believed on Him, if we're not truly established in the fact that He loves you, He loves me, He loves us, then we're not going to be as strong. Do you realize you can be born again and not really be convinced that God loves you? You mean you could say, well, He loves me, yes, He sent Jesus, but you know, that was the general, He gave that to everybody, but me, myself, you know, I'm not really all that. Yeah. Well, that's going to hinder us being strong. If we're in the family, but we don't feel like we're really, you know, we're in the family, but we're kind of, you know, some, you could have this thinking, well, there are tiers to the family. You know, there's the top tier, the A team. You know, maybe a few tiers, and then there's this lower tier. We're in the family, but, you know. And God loves us, yeah, but, you know, that's because He loves everybody. And we're just kind of, we're in there, but He knows me, and it's kind of like, yeah, you're in the family. But not type A, not tier one. Nobody knows what I'm talking about at all, because everybody... No, there is thoughts. This is in... The reason I know that people have had thoughts is because the devil's the same. And if he can't keep you out of the family of God, then one tactic is just to make you think you're not really all that. You're not really loved of God. And yeah, God do something with you, but you know... Not all that with you, because really when it comes down to it, He doesn't really love me. Well, you say that if you were asked, oh yeah, God loves me. But day to day, how do we act? Do we act like He loves us? Do we behave like we are in the family and my Father loves me and he cherishes me? Well, if we're in that type of if we're in that type of understanding, then it's going to strengthen us. See, if we don't believe that, then we haven't fed on the Word in these areas enough. So then we're not going to be strong on the inside as strong as we ought to be. We could look strong externally, but on the inside we're not secure in His love, in the foundation of what He has done for us. Let's read over some of these scriptures again. We covered some of them last time, so I don't believe we'll go into them in depth, but if we need to, we will. John 16:26. It says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. The Father himself loves you. Now, like we said last time, we can't really receive that with our minds, because our minds can't really comprehend this. Who are we even talking about? We're talking about the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, loves you. Because we're in this natural world, and we know people, there's almost 8 billion people on this earth, and there are people that are in positions of power that would not give you the time of day, don't know you, don't know me, right? So to think the Almighty knows us doesn't gel with our normal earthly understanding. You don't have to go to the whole world. Just in your company, there are people, that you don't talk to, don't have a reason to talk to. It's not that they don't like you. You just don't come into contact with them because they're in a different sphere, right? And for you to walk into their office just unannounced, people say they have an open door policy, but there are certain people probably, depending on how big of a company you have, just for you to show up, be like, well, why are you here? Because their time's valuable. They can only spread it so much. So for you just to walk in, find that you're there. Why are you there? You're just saying hi because maybe that's, unless you know them personally, is not the best use of their time. Not that they don't like you, but not, might not go over so well. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. That's just in a local realm, just a few people. Even if it was a big company, it's just a few people relatively. Then you go, to localities, to cities, to states, to nations, to the world. How many people in the world could you just say, hey, stop by? Certain people, you can't get near them. If you try to do that, there are people, men or women with weapons are going to stop you because you're not unannounced. That just doesn't fly, right? Both in the government, without the government. There's people that have bodyguards to make sure people don't just walk up to them, right? So see, our mentality on this earth is geared for us, to stay away from people we don't know. And those are just natural, those are human beings on this earth. And we are talking about now the being that created the whole universe, that we have free access to him. See, that doesn't really work with our normal understanding. So for us really to get a hold of that, it takes mind renewal. We have to change the way we think, because that's not normal. That's not normal in our experience to be able just to go and talk. So then there's all kinds of other understandings. He tolerates me. But surely for me to come into his presence, or for him to think something toward me, that's not in our experience, is it? And depending on what type of upbringing we had, it may not be in our family. So for us to truly believe, I'm not talking about religiously, God loves me, because, people that don't even believe the Bible could agree with that. Well, God loves me. You see that on church billboards, God loves you. And, honestly, there are people that would just scoff at it. What do you mean? What does that mean? Right? Because our understanding has not been renewed to realize who God is, the price he paid for us, and how he sees as each individual. It takes changing our mind. How are we going to change our mind? With the Word of God. How was the Word of God created? The written Word was written through people, men that spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that it is the Word of God. And we have to renew our mind to what he said, not our experience. For us to be as strong, for us to be strong in our inner man, we need to understand that the one that we serve and that whose family we are in, he actually loves us. He knows us. He loves us. John 17, 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. He was talking about his disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be as one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now we went into this some, that Jesus is loved by the Father the same way we are, or we are loved the same way as Jesus is. That's not our normal experience. 1 John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, that we are in His family. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. See, he said he loved us. That's the reason Jesus came, and he is saying here what manner of love God has bestowed on us that we should come into his family, not be servants only, but children. Children of the Almighty. Children. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. It means we all have to come to Him firsthand. But then there is nobody in between us and Him. Jesus was the sacrifice that made it possible, but there is no priest. There is no other person in between us. Now, thank God, we have gifts. The Bible talks about that He gave gifts unto men. We have people that are placed in the body of Christ to help us grow up. We talked about that earlier. But that doesn't mean we go through them to get to God. They're to help us understand what we already have through Jesus to go to God. But we have a relationship with Him and we are called children of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8, or 2, verse 4. Again, we went over some of these last time. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. Now we stated some of this last time, this and the next verses in Romans, but these, we have to take these verses that we're reading, we have to take them by faith. They will start meaning something to us when we believe what the Bible says apart from our feeling. When we look at this, verse 4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. See, the epistles, these letters, were written to you and to me. They're written to the church. We're part of the church, so they apply to us. So when Paul says here, by the Holy Spirit, because of His great love with which He loved us, he's talking about His great love with which He loved you and He loved me. That's the Word of God. It says that He loved you and he loved me, not just barely, but because of the great love with which he loved you and that he loved me. But I don't feel like it. Okay, this is where we have, this is where we're going to have to renew our mind. See, as long as we say, my experience doesn't fit that, I don't feel like it, then we're going to approach God based on our feeling or based on our experience and not by what he said is true. If he said by the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, that means he has great love for you and for me. Regardless of what kind of upbringing we had, regardless of what we see at work, regardless of what our experience is in our neighborhood, regardless of what our church experience has been, regardless of the examples we gave of not being able just to walk in anybody's office, God said he loves us greatly, and he's the Almighty. And if he said this is the way it is, at some point for us to experience what the life he has for us, we have to agree with him and say, okay, you said you loved me, you're higher than me, you're smarter, I agree with you. So if you said you love me, I believe that. Now, that means we're actually changing our mind. That means we're going to, as we change our mind, we're going to think differently. It means we're going to believe differently. That's going to affect our heart because faith is of the heart. That means you're going to start, we'll start being stronger on our inner man. Your mind may have to catch up over time, but if we start agreeing with the Word of God in our mind and meditate on that, our mind will change. As long as we just keep saying, well, I don't know, he doesn't love me, I just don't know, that will loop in our head. We'll believe that, and we'll be weak spiritually. Because when we bump up against the storms of life, we have an enemy, and this the circumstance, we live in a fallen world, Satan will give you, I'm not saying him personally, but his imps will whisper in your ear, God doesn't love you. Where is he? How are you going to make it through? The way to make it through is when we start realizing we are children of God. We are loved by him. Because now, if I'm truly loved by him, and I'm in his family, and I believe that, and I think that way, that's going to change how I walk through any situation. Now, where I was weak before, my inner man, regardless of what my natural man sees, regardless of what my natural man feels, it believes something about the Almighty, and that puts his resources in a place where I can access them. Romans 5:6. It says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's just take what we just read in verse 8. God demonstrates his own love toward us. What does demonstrate mean? To show. When you demo something, you're showing. So people can say, oh, I don't know. Thoughts may be, I don't know if he loves me. This is saying he demonstrated it. He illustrated it. He showed it. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is the expression of God's love toward us. He couldn't do anything more than he did. God can't show you anymore that he loves you. He did. He paid the ultimate price through Jesus to show us that he loves us, and not just to show us, to actually purchase our salvation, that anyone that believes can be saved. Let's go to 1 John 4, 7. You can go ahead and turn over there. 1 John 4, 7. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mind renewal going on right now for us all. No matter how much we've heard, you know, we can get cleaner. Our mind, you know, there's some crufty stuff. You know, when you clean your house, it gets dirty. We don't have to go backwards on this earth, but just growing up here on this world, we've got some stuff deposited in our understanding that we need to get rid of. We need to change. And all of us can come up higher. None of us is at the understanding of the Almighty at this point. We all have room to grow. 1 John 4, verse 7 said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know, or does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world." Now stop right there. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. What does manifested mean? Well, that's, again, it's appeared, it's shown. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. So God manifested, the other scripture says he demonstrated his love toward us in this, that he sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. It said it's not, it says verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God. In other words, it's not what we did for him. He did for us before we did anything for him. What we just read in the other scriptures, it said when Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. When we didn't have anything to offer, he died for us. That he was demonstrating his love for us, that we might live through him. He demonstrated, he manifested his love in that Jesus came and died for us. He can't show us anymore, more clearly than that, how much he loves us. Skip down to verse 17. This is also on your sheet. 1 John 4, 17. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." See, we love him because of what he did for us. He loved us first. He loved us first. Everybody say, he loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. God loves us. He loved us before we did anything. Well, I just haven't done everything I know to do. Well, okay. He still loves us. And there's a way for us to go forward, regardless of what we did. If we'll get it right with Him and just acknowledge it and repent, we can go forward. That doesn't mean He doesn't love us. Being established on the fact that He does love us will help us to avoid making the same mistakes that we've made in the past. Hallelujah. It's when we feel like how He loves us is tied to how we perform that actually increases the likelihood that we're going to make mistakes. Because then when you make a mistake, you feel like He pulls back, and that condemnation will push you away from Him. And even though you try to live right, there's this fear of messing up and of Him going away from you that will make us weak and cause us to fall. But the more we are established in Him, the more we are established in the fact that He loves us, then verse 18 kicks in. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment." See, when we're fearing, we're not convinced of how much God loves us. How would we know that we haven't been completely perfected in His love yet? By how much fear we have in our lives. Any fear we have is an indication we're not completely matured and grown up in His love. We can all grow. We can all be more convinced. When we're afraid of something, we're not convinced fully that He loves us, that He's there for us, that He's in us. Because if we're convinced that the Almighty is there for us and loved us, what do we have to fear? Because nobody can take Him on. Is there any need He cannot meet? Is there any condition He cannot overcome? Is there any financial problem that He can't supply? Is there any disease that His power can't make okay? He can't eradicate. Is there any problem with the body that He can't make whole? So then if we're completely convinced of that, where's fear? It's not there anymore. We're convinced, but how is it going to be cast out? It's going to be cast out by us being full of His love and knowing how much He loves us. See, this is how we're going to be ultimately strong. We talked about loving other people, that the love of God is shed abroad, is poured out in our hearts. In Romans 5, it says, that love is in us. For it to actuate as much as possible, we need to know how much He loves us. Then we can love other people. But that love is there. Because God is there and He is love. He is in us. He loves us. We need to renew our mind to how much He loves us so that ultimately we are strong. Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Can we be stronger? We can all be stronger. How are we going to get stronger? By renewing our minds to these truths, to where this is what we think on. This is what we think on. And as we think on those things, that's going to affect our believing. And our believing is of our heart. We're going to speak the word, speak the truth, act in line with the truth that God loves us. It will affect the way we interact with other people. When we start to believe He loves me, now it's going to change the way I interact with you, because He loves you too. But if I think He loves you, but He doesn't love me, I'm not going to be as strong as I ought to be. But as I see He loves me, and I can love you. Well, you're not perfect. Well, neither am I. And He loves me, therefore I can love you. And vice versa. And now His love and His plan unfolds more readily because we are being truly His hands and His feet and His voice. Because we're secure that He loves us. And so we can reach out. We can step out. We can step out onto nothing more than His word. He said something, told us what to do. We don't see how, we don't see what, but He said it, and I know He loves me, so I can take a step. Now I can be a blessing in this world where He wants me to be. And as we get established in that, we more and more walk in His plan. Fear does not hinder us anymore. And can you see, the more we're established in His love, the less the fear is there. Is that what it says? He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. So you can imagine, the more love there is there, the less fear. The any part that is love, fear is not there anymore. So the more love we have in our understanding, in our mind, in our understanding of God, there is no fear there. So what does that mean? As we renew our mind in all these different areas, and faith comes by hearing, with faith is of the heart, as we get stronger there in our spirit, there is no fear any place that we're established in His love. That means we're stronger, we're more established. Satan doesn't have a foothold in those areas. Because we're walking in His love. Stronger in what He has done for us. Glory to God. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 13 in the Living Bible? You have that on your sheet too. I think we had a slide from before. It says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Now, as we're reading this, we need to look at, this is how God looks at us. When we're talking about love, yes, this is how we want to love other people, and we've touched on that, but here, I want you to see God loving you this way. The more we renew our minds to this, and we see God is looking at us this way, it will displace fear in different areas. Go back to verse 4. Love is very patient and kind. Right there. You think of God, we think of Him being very patient and kind with you. That'll help a number of things right there. Some individuals have grown up believing God is harsh and cruel, and waiting for us to fail. That's not Him. The Bible says God is love. That means He's like this. Love is very patient and kind. He's never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud. Go ahead. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. We know some of these things we wouldn't ascribe to God. In any case, it is not irritable or touchy. Did you know God is not irritable or touchy? What about when we get into an area we don't feel like we're doing quite everything right? Do we start getting nervous that, well, you know, God is somehow upset with us? Well, that's not Him. That's not the way God is. I said, that's not the way God is. We need mind renewal here. Because maybe we saw something that was done in the name of God, but it wasn't God. And it was touchy and fretful and high-strung. That's not God. God is calm and strong and patient all the time. You know, think of how we ought to be, not always, you know, to have children and live with them well so they can test your patience, you know, a 2-3-year-old. But think of how we ought to be with a small child, or, you know, any child, but I'm thinking of somebody that's small. And they're trying to do certain things. You know, maybe they're trying to draw a picture. They're trying to tie their shoes eventually. It wouldn't be the best behavior to get mad at them for not tying their shoes correctly. Why don't you already have it? What? You're not done already? We are not anywhere near, you know, whatever, I don't know, when you, like 5, 6, you learn to tie your shoes or something. A 5 or 6-year-old to us is not anywhere near the gap that we are to God. We've been on the earth a few decades. I don't care if it's how many decades it is, still a few. God has always been. So the way you would look at some little child trying to do something for the first or second or third time, or doing their best in life, doesn't even begin to describe the way God looks at us. We are such little children. Yet sometimes we think He is much harder. And we would not ascribe, if a human being acted the way we think God is to a child, we would think it was cruel. We would think it's, you know, completely out of order. But sometimes we think we're further and somehow God is demanding. I'm not saying He's not holy. He's not just. He wants us to do well. But come on, we can't take ourselves too seriously either. Well, I've known the Word for all these years. Well, how many years is that? I don't care if it's 100. It's nothing compared to the Almighty. And is he just all of a sudden, He's just, you know, you've been at it long enough, now He's really impatient with you? No, God is patient. He is always loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's not irritable or touchy. Ever. 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 We need to renew our mind to this. When we think of Him, those thoughts that can come against our minds ascribing behavior to God are thoughts of the enemy to try to separate us from God. We need to recognize what is truth when thoughts come to our head. And what are lies? Just because something is telling you or even quoting scripture of something you ought to be doing, how is it done? Because God doesn't deal with His children meanly or condescending. He doesn't do that. That's not Him. That doesn't mean He won't correct us. He will, but He'll do it in love. It does not hold grudges. Some people think that God is holding a grudge against them. It's not the Bible. You can turn your back on God, but we're not even going to talk about that. Very few people qualify to even do that. And if you're wondering about it, you haven't. So forget it. God's not up. He's not touchy. He's not going, oh, you hurt my feelings. I mean, He does have emotion. You can see it in the Bible. He does get angry in different things. But this is also describing His character. So it's not like he just gets uptight or touchy or mad like you've seen humans do. You know, he's just going to give you the cold shoulder for the day. Those are feelings. Those are lies. Those are not Him. It's not the Almighty. That's not how He operates. He's more mature than that. If you can ascribe behavior to like a perfect human parent, He is far beyond that. If you can imagine some human being controlled and mature in a certain way. He is way beyond that. So why do we sometimes, when we think of how thoughts come in about how he is, you can locate them right away. If they don't line up with the word and what this is describing, it's not, they're not what the way God is acting. They are thoughts to try to deter you and push you away from God, telling you how God is acting, telling you what he thinks, demanding that you should be different. Well, you got to ask yourself, does it line up with the Bible? It says it does not hold grudges. Love does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. God, think of Jesus' attitude as he was going to the cross. They were spitting on him. They were cursing him. And he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? Does that mean God, he was holy. The only way you can do this is when you realize that's the way God. Now, he doesn't wink at sin. We're not talking about that. But you know what? So many times when people have good hearts and want to serve God, they unknowingly open themselves up to certain tactics by the devil because they want to serve God so much. If they don't know the word, the devil will use their heart against them to try to beat them up with not doing everything perfect. Did you hear me?
Yes.
So you want to do right. You want to do well, and you want to do that so much, the enemy will come and quote half scriptures to you, condemning you for not measuring up. In reality, that's not God speaking to you. That's not his heart. But because you want to serve so much, you if you don't know the word, you open yourselves up to being condemned by the devil instead of being strong and realizing that God loves me and he will deal with me as a daughter, as a son. He loves me and is not going to beat me up every little thing. That's not him. Go to the next verse, please. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Next one. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. Now, apply this to God. Is God loyal to us? Yes, he is. No matter what the cost, well, what did he do? He gave his son. The Bible says in Romans 8, it says if God gave us his son, freely gave us his son, how will he not with him also give us all things? In other words, if he already gave us Jesus, what is he going to withhold now? He already proved how much he loved us. What is it that you think he's going to withhold? He's already given us the most expensive thing imaginable, or person, his son. You will always believe in him. When we feel like God does not believe in us, it's a lie. That's not the voice of God. Always expect the best of him. What does that mean? Always, no matter if you've missed it 2, 3, 4 times, he's still expecting you're going to come up and you're going to do it right. He believes the best. He believes that you're going to come up. He's not saying, oh, well, that's it. Forget him. No, that's not him. He's saying, they'll get it next time. Try it again. Get up. Go after it again, son. Go after it again, daughter. I got you. You're going to get it. Always stand your ground in defending him. God does not sell us out like people do. He doesn't back out on us and say, well, you know, say one thing to your face, but then, well, I don't really like him. I know I said I loved him over here, but I really don't like this one. It's not God. People do that. Not all people, but some people. But God's not that way. But because of the blood that he shed, that Jesus shed, we are righteous in him. And because of that, we are on solid ground with God. That does not change. So he is just. Jesus, the Bible said, he lives to make intercession for us. He is just. He can point to his blood and say, I shed that for them. They are righteous in me. And it's completely legal and it's completely right. Now, if we get to talking about what you and me are, well, now we can start shooting holes through that. That's why our identity and our confidence to be strong has to be in what he has done and in his love for us. Otherwise, it's going to be up and down. Praise God. God is faithful. He loves you. He loves you more than you could comprehend. He has an awesome place and plan for each person. He has gifts and abilities that he's put into you, and those things are going to come up. When we realize he truly believes in us, truly loves in us, that gives us the ability to step out and act for him. That gives us the ability to love the people around us, the ability to actually yield to him. Glory to God.